ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 82nd chapter, Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, text number 31. Shri Shuka Uvacha Nandastatra Yadun Praptan Nandastatra Yadun Praptan Gyatva Krishna Purogaman Gyatva Krishna Purogaman Tatragamat Vrito Gopair Tatragamat Vrito Gopair Anakstartair Didrikshaya Anakstartair Didrikshaya Shishuka Uvacha Nandastatra Yadun Praptan Gyatva Krishna Purogaman Tatragamad Vrito Gopair Anakstartair Didrikshaya Ladies. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Nandaha, Nanda Maharaj, Tatra, there, Yadun, Diyadus, Praptan, arrived, Gyatva, finding out, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Puraha Gaman, keeping in front, Tatra, there, Agamat, he went, Vritaha, accompanied, Gopai, by the cowherds, Anaha, on their wagons, Sta, placed, Artai, whose possessions? Didrikshaya, wanting to see. Translation and purport. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived, led by Krishna, he immediately went to see them. The cowherds accompanied him, their various possessions loaded on their wagons. Purport. The cowards of Braja were planning to stay at Kurukshetra for some days, so they came equipped with adequate provisions, especially milk products and other foods, for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. Om Ajnanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanamano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagada Mayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vacha lampangum langayate girim, yat kripadam maham vande sri guru dinataranam, paramanandam aravam, si chaitanyeshwaram, vanchakalpatarubhyascha, kripasindubhyevacha, patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shishukuvacha nandastatra yadun praptan gyatva krishna purogaman tatragamad vrito gopair anakstartair didrikshaya. Shri Gregor Goswami said, when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived, led by Krishna, he immediately went to see them. The cowards accompanied him, their various possessions loaded on their wagons. Hare Krishna. Can you move this? So this is the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto. You can say this is already the bonus track. All the demons are killed. All the great events have already been narrated. Now, Shri Gregor Goswami is giving a very eclectic description of different pastimes that are very dear to his heart. So he is narrating because his audience, Maharaj Parikshit, is very eager to hear from him. So this is drawing out a lot of wonderful discussions. Yesterday we heard from Madhavananda Prabhu how in our culture of Krishna consciousness, respect and a service attitude is very important, because that is not only the definition of culture, it is also the intrinsic element of all of the rasas. Sometimes devotees say, you know, I'm not so into this, or I'm not so into that. I'm a bit more in Shantaras. Have you ever heard that? Huh? I'm a bit more in Shantaras. So if you want to know what Shantaras is, Prabhupada gives the example of the earth, that the earth is serving us in Shantaras, is serving Krishna also in Shantaras, by doing service, by holding him up. So even if, let's accept the fact that you want to be in Shantaras, respect and service will still be the two predominating qualities in that rasa. One time, a devotee, a disciple of Prabhupada, ran up to Prabhupada and embraced Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was kind of startled, and he looked at him and he said, "This is not necessary." So sometimes our desire for intimacy gets ahead of us, and we forget what is appropriate according to the situation. Because a servant is primarily on reverence, in respect, and in service mood. And the aspect of intimacy is not a predominant element. Now, if the master invites that sentiment, then it is permissible. But if not, then it's not something that the servant should divulge or should push forward on his own. So today we will speak about pacifiers, about default mode, and about our mission in life. They're all related to Svabhav, to our own inherent nature. Here in this verse, we hear about Nanda Maharaj and the Brijbasis, who went to Kurukshetra to do what? I mean, it's a nice place to go. It's a pilgrimage. There's many things to see. There's many people to meet. We have just heard all the illustrious personalities that were there. But they went to Kurukshetra for one single purpose only. That purpose was to see Krishna. Didrikshaya. That was their purpose. Their purpose was to see Krishna. So that is the mood, that is the swabhav of the Brijbasis. They want to see Krishna. In English we say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That wherever you place value, that's where you see beauty. It's like a husband, every husband sees his wife as beautiful. Otherwise, he wouldn't be married to her. Everybody has his cherished possession. So for a devotee, his Ishtadev, his cherished possession, is Krishna. That is his most lovable object of devotion. So when the Brijbasis came to Kurukshetra, there were certainly many things to do, many things to see, many people to meet, many topics to discuss. But they were simply interested, where is Krishna? We want to meet Krishna and we want to discuss about Krishna. That was their focus. That was their intention. And such a mood, such a focus is important in the life of each and every devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one discussion, he describes that in this material world, Maya, the illusory energy, has given the conditioned soul so many sucking toys. Do you know what a sucking toy is? It's called a pacifier. For those of you who don't have children, you know, when you have little babies, you put something in their mouth because that pacifies them. It can be either a rubber thing or it can be a natural thing or you can stick the finger there. Just like that child that was abandoned and then Soma came and put his finger in the mouth of the crying baby and said, you can suck on this and you will get nourishment. So Maya is giving the conditioned soul so many sucking toys. And it may seem a little abstract, but if you happen to walk around, you will actually see how people are continuously chewing and sucking and having something in their mouths. So many sucking toys are there. No need to mention. Depending on which mode of the three different modes you're in, you have different sucking devices that you will keep in your mouth. As a pacifier, just to pacify the conditioned living entity, it's okay. You're fine because you're holding on to something and you're chewing and you're sucking on something. But for the devotees, the pacifier, what really gives the devotee solace and nourishment is the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Because a devotee does not accept any substitute, any of these seemingly unlimited, unnecessary necessities as a substitute for Krishna consciousness. Also not substitutes in the mode of goodness, because they're simply substitutes. But a devotee is simply interested in chanting the holy name of Krishna, because by doing so, the devotee experiences Krishna in a very intimate, in a very close way. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, he got more and more emotional. And we hear from Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how he could only be pacified by the chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and by the songs of Vidyapati and Chandidas. These were the only things that would give solace to his heart. Nothing else could actually pacify him. So, I should ask myself on a daily basis, what is my pacifier? What am I sucking on? Just like we know, a person in a mode of ignorance just wants to go to sleep or take intoxication. That is their focus. Where can I sleep? And where do I get my intoxication? A person in the mode of passion is continuously engaged in furtive activity, and they're always counting their money. Whenever there is distress, they start to count their money. Huh? Has it ever happened to you that you started counting your money? Either physically or mentally? Okay, how much do I have? How long can I live on this? Or you may check your messages on your phone. Or how many friends do I have on social media like that? How many people are paying attention to me? So these are all substitutes. They're all pacifiers. A person in a mode of goodness may appreciate nature, may appreciate so many things, but it's still a substitute. Because only Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna, is the personality which will actually give real satisfaction, real solace to the heart of the living entity. There is no substitute that can actually give that. So, artha and anartha. Here we hear artair, the possessions of the gopas. What were the possession of the coward men? They came with bullock carts. So, from Vrindavan to Kurukshetra is at least 2 weeks of journey on bullock carts. I don't know how many of you have taken a bullock cart, but it doesn't go very fast. That's for sure. But it's quite an experience because you actually have a life, which means you can chant Hare Krishna, you can have a sensible discussion, you can actually remember Krishna. But nowadays we're so advanced, we have invented so many unnecessary necessities, from the trains to the automobiles, etc., that we cannot chant Hare Krishna and we cannot remember Krishna. Last week I was in Vasai and when I came back on the train, I realized that unlimited living entities had the same plan like me. You've been on local trains and you know how it is when you get on the train in the rush hour and you feel like one of those keys on a typewriter that's stuck together. Did you ever do that as a child? You press the keys on a typewriter and they all go chunk. That's how you feel, right? When you're in the local train. And it takes a bit of clarity to actually be able to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, but they took the bullock carts. We heard the other day during Prasadam how Prabhupada, after giving initiation to Acharya Prabhakar, he walked with him for 20 miles. And they did a program. Now that's like Govardhan Parikrama. When was the last time you walked 20 miles to give a program, to give a lecture? So they walked 20 miles, had the program, probably stayed overnight, and then walked back. So nowadays we're so exceedingly busy with our busy, busy lives that we do not have time to chant Hare Krishna. But the Brijbasis, they had all the time in the world to chant about Krishna's glories. So nowadays, people think we have come up with so many modern inventions, but there is nothing new under the sun. Like now all the kids, they're into hip-hop. Hip-hop dancing, you know? But what is hip-hop? What is rap? Rap-a-tap-a-tap-a-tap-a-da. You know, they're rapping about something. But the Brijbasis already were doing rapping. They were rapping about Krishna's pastimes. You know what just happened? Did you hear what happened? No. What is it? What happened? Oh, I can tell you what happened. You know, there was this big, huge duck, this big bird with a big beak, and he came. Oh, really? What happened? What did he do? He swallowed Krishna. No. No, really. Don't say it's true. No, he didn't swallow Krishna. Krishna was almost swallowed by him. But then he stepped aside, and the beak just went into the ground. And Krishna, he grabbed the beak and he bifurcated the demon in his beak. Now that's real news. And that's what the Brijbasis are rapping about. So if you want to be a rapper, then rap about Krishna's pastimes. Because this is the real rasa. Blues, jazz, all of these emotions, they're there. in these relationships between the Brijbasis and Krishna. Now, Nanda Maharaj, he is in Vatsalya Ras. Vatsalya Ras is the parental affection, parental love. Thus, he is always meditating, is Krishna safe? Because a parent always wants their child to be safe. All of you parents, do you ever wonder, do you ever worry, where are your children? Are my boys safe? Are my children safe? So that is the mood, that is the mindset. Huh? And I have to feed Krishna. Now Krishna is Dwarkanath. He's living in Dwarka. He's being served by 16,108 queens. What can he not eat? What can he not get? But what are the cowherd men bringing from Vrindavan, from Braj? They're bringing provisions of milk products because they know in their heart of hearts that Krishna has been starving because Krishna did not get proper food all these years. He did not because there is no proper food in Dwarka. If you cannot understand that, you're not in Vatsalya Ras. Now, we should not try to imitate, but we can serve the Brijbasis and assist them in their service. And in this way, we will also appreciate and develop these type of sentiments for Krishna. So they brought provisions, not just for their own journey, but primarily to feed Krishna and Balaram, who had been away for such a long time. That was their meditation. That was their default mode. You know the default mode is the mode that everything defaults to. Like the factory setting. What is my default mode? Once my busyness stops and I have a moment of tranquility, what is my svabhav? What is the natural state of my being? Do I connect to which of the modes, to which of the mindsets? So, Nanda Maharaj is always worried about Krishna. He always wants to protect Krishna. And he always wants to feed Krishna. And Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's happiness is his only meditation, is his only focus. So when he was in Kurukshetra, he was not interested in the sights. He was not interested in all the other people that were there. He was interested in, where is Krishna? I want to meet Krishna. When the inhabitants of Navadvip went to Jagannath Puri, before taking bath, before going to temple, before doing all the things you can do in Puri, they went to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu asked them, did you go to your quarters? Did you take bath? Did you take darshan? Have you had prasad? And they kept silent because you don't want to argue with a superior person. So he understood. No, they had come straight to him. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he explains that the body is like a chariot and the heart is like the charioteer. So wherever your heart is, that's where you will be pulled naturally to go. Like when you're absent from Sisi Radha Gopinath Mandir and you come back after a long time of absence, what's the first thing that you do? Do you go for prasad? Or you go check, is my locker still there? Or do you go and have darshan of Radha Gopinath? So, now sometimes these emotions, these sentiments, they are hindered by awe and reverence. And therefore Krishna, he has different potencies, different shaktis that will sometimes cover his devotees, sometimes cover him. Because when there is too much respect or awe and reverence, then this intimacy is not possible to grow, to come to the forefront. Therefore, whenever a situation arises where Krishna's supremacy, Krishna's magnanimity, Krishna's all-powerful nature becomes very prominent, then the default mode kicks in. Like Mother Yashoda looks into Krishna's mouth and she sees not only the universes, not only all the elements, not only all living entities and all everything in creation, she sees herself and Krishna looking into his mouth. So then she says, it's all right you have eaten dirt, but just don't do it again. So the default mode comes up. What is that default mode? You are my child and I have to protect you. So don't do it again. So what is my default mode? Our default mode should be, I'm a servant. I'm the servant of Krishna. The servant of Krishna am I. This is the only default mode, the only identification that we should accept. One time, I was in Mayapur, and I asked my spiritual master for initiation. And he told me something very interesting. He said, you have to remember that I am primarily, number one, your servant. Number two, I am your friend. Now, if you require me to be, number three, your spiritual master, I can do that too. But you have to always remember that primarily, number one, I will be your servant. And number two, I will be your friend. I said, that's okay, but I need number three. Please, please. That's okay, but please give me number three. So, the spiritual master is serving by being the master. And the disciple is serving by being the servant. So both they are serving. And in this way, it is perfect. In this way, there is unity in purpose. There is harmony because there is no ulterior motive. There is no hidden agenda. To be serious, sincere, and without ulterior motive is very important for a devotee. Nowadays we see people think that I have to have my own project. I have to be head of department. I have to be a somebody. Because otherwise I'm a nobody. And I don't want to be just a das. It's funny, I just have a friend. He just changed his Skype name from Prabhu to Das. Because before his Skype name was Prabhu. And now his Skype name is Das. So actually Das is a very elevated position. In Christianity, before a person is given the title of being holy or being a saint, there's four steps. The first step is being a servant of God. So when we take Diksha, we already get Das or Devidasi. So we're already on the first of these four steps that is there. So, Didrikshaya, what is there to see? Let me see. Just like you're taking a flight or a travel and somebody, you brought prasad because you got provisions. Because we're following in the footsteps of the Brijbasis, right? So whenever we travel, we take provisions. But then they say, veg or non-veg, right? So the mind says, oh, veg, let me see. Did we ever think like that? Let me see. That's why we're in this material world. Because we thought, let me see. Let me see the menu. Let me see what's there. So, Didrikshaya, one famous author, he once said, it is not important what you look at, but it is important what you see. So when I come to temple, it's not important what I look at. It's important what I see. And really seeing happens through the heart. Through the heart. Because when we're guided by Shastra, Shastra Chakshush, and we imbibe the mood and mission of the spiritual master, then we can truly see. Just like the two salesmen who went to Africa. Oh, one went and came back, said, nobody wears shoes. And the other one said, I see an opportunity. Let me go there to sell shoes. So in the same way, sometimes we see there's so many devotees. So the mind says, oh no, too much crowd, right? I don't want to go into the queue. I don't want to do serving because it's too much. But we should see there is so much opportunity for service. So much opportunity for service. Just like when the inhabitants of Navadvip came to Puri, they brought provisions and they brought their favorite items for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami goes through great length and detail to describe all these different preparations that they would give to Govinda, and he would store it in a room. And then Raghava Pandit brought these Raghavira Jali that him and Damayanti, his sister, had prepared for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the devotees were constantly asking Govinda, did Mahaprabhu like it? Did he eat my preparation? So they started to give a hard time to the servant. So it shows to us, don't give a hard time to the servants, you know. They're just doing their service. Their service is to serve. Their service is not to be the public relations or the communication department or the counseling department. So, till Govinda disclosed his mind to Mahaprabhu and said, I'm in anxiety because they are continuously asking and you know, whole room is full of preparations. And Mahaprabhu said, why are you talking so foolishly? Why are you in anxiety? Just bring. And in one sitting, he ate all the pots. And nothing had gone stale. Everything was still fresh. And then he asked him, is there anything more? And he said, no, only the bags of Raghava Pandit. And Mahaprabhu said, I will look at them at another time. Not right now. I will look at them at another time. So, the drikshaya, whatever is important to us is what is in our vision, is what we actually see. One time I was walking with Srila Radhanath Maharaj in Moscow, in Red Square. And it's quite impressive. You've seen the photographs of Prabhupada walking there. It's a huge plaza. Big. And there is the Kremlin. And there is St. Basil's Cathedral. There's quite spectacular architecture around. So we were walking there with Bhaktivigyan Maharaj. And so we were chanting. And then Srila Radhanath Maharaj said, you know, I have to admit, I have to tell you this. I'm an American. Now for you, those of you who don't know, the relationship between America and Russia was about like the relationship between India and Pakistan. Gives you an idea, right? You get an idea, right? Okay. So, he said, I'm an American. And people say that we won the Second World War because the Allies really turned the tide and really made it happen. But I have to admit that it is only because of the sacrifice of the Russian soldiers that the Second World War was won. Because they made the biggest sacrifices. They lost the most amount of men. And it is only in the winter of St. Petersburg that the Germans were actually, that they failed and that they got destroyed. So, there were so many other things to talk about. And we did talk about history and we did talk about other things. But he saw somebody else's sacrifice. So that is the nature of a devotee, to always appreciate other devotees, to always appreciate their sacrifice. Just like when Krishna entered Mathura, the Mathuravasis, the young girls, they were very happy to see Krishna, but at the same time, they remembered the Brijbasis. They remembered the love and the sacrifice of the Brijbasis. So yes, in the spiritual world, there is competition, but there is no envy. There is no inebriety. There is no duality. So, sometimes we think, I need to be somebody. I need to have a project. I need to be head of department. I need to go out and make my own mark in the world. But Srila Prabhupada, he made it very clear to us that ISKCON first. ISKCON first. Just like Yudhisthira told Bhima and Arjuna, that when Duryodhan was in trouble, you have to go and help him. You have to go save him because we're a family. And the family comes first. So in our heart of hearts, we should always meditate, how is ISKCON doing? Not how is my project doing? Not how is my household doing or how is my temple doing? But how is ISKCON doing? In a selfless way, in an appreciative way. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he said, I was never alone. I always was guided and assisted by my spiritual master. And because I had the holy name and I had the mission, I was never alone. So in the same way, when we study and imbibe the mood of our parampara, then we will never be alone. We will never feel lonely. We will never have to resort to substitutes and sucking toys, which will simply distract us, which will simply try to alleviate or numb the pain that we're feeling here in the material world. But only Krishna Katha and the spreading of Krishna Katha will actually give us solace and happiness in life. So Krishna, he appears in this world time and time again in order to annihilate the demons, to reestablish the principles of Dharma, and to give happiness to his devotees. So Krishna is very happy to be conquered by the love of his devotees. And we can see how he's conquered by the prema. He's conquered by the love of his devotees. Just like in the Damodar Leela, when Krishna had been bound up by the ropes of love of Mother Yasoda, and he had pulled down the two Yamala Arjun trees, and they had offered him their prayers. And Krishna was kind of smiling because he said, you're praying to me to become liberated, but look at me, I'm bound up. So how do you expect me to liberate you? I'm bound up by the love of my devotees. So much so that Krishna allows himself to be captured by prema. And that's why he's only very rarely giving prema. It's something that's very rarely granted. So what is valuable? Artha. And what is not valuable? Anartha. Just like in this world, people think value, real value means you know people, you have connections, you have money in the bank, you have keys, you have credit cards, you have access codes, right? But artha here is land, cows and grains. When Krishna appeared, Nanda Maharaj, out of his pleasure and out of his happiness, he gave 2 million cows in charity. 2 million cows and 7 mountains of grain, which were as big as Mount Meru. Sankhyai, unlimited number, practically unlimited number of cows. So that is real wealth. Now, when is the last time you saw a cow here in Mumbai? You have to think really hard, right? When is the last time? I remember it's a week ago when I went to Muralidhar Prabhu and we went to the South Indian market to buy some puja items, and there was tied to a pole, there was a cow. And the cow looked really bewildered, right in the middle of the traffic of the market, like that. So, because we have accepted anartha, the unnecessary necessities, to be very important, we do not have space, time, and energy for artha, for real wealth. And that's why we always feel broke. We always feel poor, because artha has no place in our life. Because we're too busy with anartha. We're too busy with sucking toys. So, asankhya means a 1 with 17 zeros. How much is that? How many? Approximately? The acharyas say unlimited. Unlimited. Now you may wonder, how can you put unlimited amounts of cows into these kroshas of Vrindavan? But the acharyas also explained that the Lord is unlimited. Can you start the fan again, please? Thank you. The Lord is unlimited, which means that even in a tiny portion of the bridge of Braj, all the universes can fit in one tiny little corner. Tiny little corner of the spiritual world. So Krishna is unlimited. His love for His devotees is unlimited. And the opportunities for devotional service are unlimited. So we should never think, oh, what is my hope for ever getting service? How will I ever get service? Because there is too many people in line here. Did you ever feel like that? Too many people in line here? How can I do service? Well, just start serving the line, you know? Do service to the line. Huh? And that means to have a mood of respect. And that means to have a mood of appreciation. And if we do that in this way, we will actually be connected with the mood of the Sampradaya. And whenever Krishna chooses to give a little intimacy, a little ecstasy, a little realization, don't fight it. It's okay. Accept it. Accept it. But understand that the default mode, the primary rasa, the primary underlying current should be service and respect. One time I was with my spiritual master and he told me, he was teasing me. Oh, you know, Prabhupada, we were in New Vrindavan and Prabhupada never talked about book distribution. He talked about cow protection, he talked about Gurukul, he talked about Varnashram Dharma, he talked about so many things, but he never talked about book distribution. Huh? So what do you say now? Huh? And I said, that's perfectly fine. That's okay. There's no problem with that. Now I know that Prabhupada wanted book distribution. But he also wanted Varnashram. He also wanted Gurukul. He also wanted cow protection. Very much so. So, we should appreciate the magnanimity of Krishna in whichever way that it manifests. But in order to be able to appreciate Krishna's glory and Krishna's magnanimity, we have to have clarity of mind. If we're too busy with our unnecessary necessities, if we're too busy surfing the waves or the web or the currents of material nature, we will not be able to stop and pause and appreciate Nanda Maharaj taking a bullock cart for 15 days, going to Kurukshetra to appreciate Krishna. Now, of course he was heartbroken. Of course he was in intense separation and agony. But he was also very happy that Krishna has excelled. Krishna has succeeded. Krishna is very renowned, and Krishna is very much appreciated and revered by everyone. So, the more our love, the more our ability to sacrifice. Because the Brijbasis had the greatest love for Krishna, they had the greatest ability to sacrifice for Krishna. That is a concept that is not often appreciated. Because we think that only personal interaction, only personal reciprocation is intimacy. But to understand Vani Seva, to understand what does it mean to serve the mission of the spiritual master, what does Krishna want? What is his desire? Now Prabhupada, he gave us the spiritual world. He gave us the holy name. He gave us deities. He gave us prasad. He gave us the association of devotees. But most important of all, he gave us devotional service. And he gave us a clear understanding of who is Krishna. If you would go today on the street and you would interview 100 persons, who is Krishna? you will get 100 different answers. Have you ever asked people, who is Krishna? You get some shocking statements. Huh? But Prabhupada made it very clear. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that nobody has to speculate. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devakinandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So it is not that we have to be puzzled, oh, where is God? Who is God? What is God? And what is my relationship to Him? We can just hear the prayers of the Acharyas, we can repeat them, and we can chant Hare Krishna, and we can spread Hare Krishna. Before Prabhupada started his preaching, how many people knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even in Kurukshetra, even now, at this occasion, how many people actually know it in truth, tatvata, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Very few. Very few. Many think, oh yeah, he's powerful. Yeah, he's a king. Yeah, he's a yogi. He's done a few things. But hey, look at me, you know? I'm also somebody. I'm also doing something. But who actually appreciates Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So that is Srila Prabhupada's unique, tremendous, outstanding contribution to the world. And in this 50th anniversary of ISKCON, we should make deliberate plans how we can put Prabhupada, Prabhupada's desire, Prabhupada's mission and mood to make Krishna famous, to give Krishna to every living entity, how we can put that in the forefront. And if it means that I'm the servant, if it means that I'm last, then that's fine. And if it means that I have to do this or I have to do that, that's also fine. But the mood, the focus is, I want to serve the mood and mission of my spiritual master. So we spoke about pacifiers and substitutes. We spoke about default mode and about mood and mission. To really find out what is our swadharma, what is our true inherent nature, it will be revealed to us. But if we start with service and with offering respect and gratitude, we can't go wrong, because it's there in all the rasas. It's there in all the relationships. And all the other things will be revealed as we go along on our journey. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Or comments or reflections? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. So you're talking about Swadharma will be revealed over a period of time. So my question is that practicing devotional service as the way it is told, and you keep practicing it, and then that's how then you will be revealed. What is your Swadharma? Like, what exactly?
Well, there is Swadharma, our inherent nature. Jivera Swarupa Hoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. That is our Swadharma. But in which service capacity we'll be serving, that is up to our authorities and that is up to Krishna. We may think I'm a great scholar, we may think I'm a cook, I'm a manager, I'm a pujari, but maybe you're not. Maybe Krishna has another plan for you. Krishna has another desire. And sometimes what seems to be failure can be a great nucleus for success. Like Prabhupada wanted to establish something in Jhansi. And he worked really hard. And somehow it all fell apart by some politics, some corrupt in-house dealings. But Prabhupada just moved on. And he went on to better and better and better and better things. Why? Because he was not attached. So if we're not attached and we have a true service attitude, then Krishna can move us along our trail. But if we're attached and we say, no, this is me, this is my Swadharma, and this is my place, then we will be stuck and we will suffer miserably. That doesn't mean we have to keep on moving and changing. It just means that to serve is a privilege, and it is not a prerogative. It's not according to my terms. So when we come into the movement, we serve under authority, and we stay in the movement, and we serve under authority, and we become senior devotees, and we still serve under authority. So that never changes. It's just that the the relationship and the interaction may slightly change, may slightly differ. And whether you're serving in this position of intimacy or in that position of intimacy, that is really not so much our call. Because we're the servant. Does that help?
Thank you, Prabhuji.
That's as far as I've understood. I know there are other levels of realization, but you have to ask the suitable speakers for those levels of realization. Other questions? So I wanted to thank all the devotees for their great hospitality and sacrifices. I'm not yet moving on because I have not yet received marching orders. But I just wanted to take this opportunity. Whenever I come here, I see great sacrifice, great love and dedication. It's not that we get, you know, frightened or blinded by the glitter and by the lights, but we see great dedication and tremendous sacrifice, and it's truly inspiring. It's truly nourishing. So I'm considering myself very fortunate to be allowed to stay and serve in this August assembly. And we ask the blessings and kind well wishes of all the assembled Vaishnavas for our journey in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaura Premanandi.